Stand, please. Ms. Oliver, where did she is? Please stand, please. Case number 11-3024. United States of America, E.S. Gabriel.
Good morning, Your Honors. I've reserved 2 minutes of my time for rebuttal. I'm Stephen Braga on behalf of Appellant Michael Scanlon. In United States versus Skilling, the Supreme Court narrowed the reach of the Honest Services Fraud Statute to criminalize only the bribe and kickback core of the pre-McNally case law.
You know, the troubling thing or a troubling thing is what you want us to do about it. You seem to be wanting us to remake a plea bargain for you. Can the court do that?
Well, Your Honor, no, the court can't remake a plea bargain, but that's not what we're asking the court
to do. What are you asking the court to do?
We're asking the court to remand this matter to the district court.
Let me make clear, what are you asking the district court to do?
The district court will have to consider, if this court finds that the honest services portion of Scanlon's plea needs to be eliminated because it's unconstitutional, the district court would then give the government a chance to withdraw from the plea if it desired to do so, or to propose.
Is that what you asked for below? Did you ask for a withdrawal of the plea bargain, or did you ask for a reformation of it?
We didn't ask for a withdrawal, Your Honor. We filed a motion to amend or modify
the
plea agreement.
How do you distinguish between that and what I asked you to begin with when I said you were asking the courts to change your plea bargain?
Because, Your Honor, it's step one of the process. Everybody understood that Skilling was coming down the track. And the question was, what impact was it going to have?
You made a plea bargain. Now, the government has a statement on page 16 of its brief. Scanlon asked too much. It is not for him to unilaterally rewrite the agreement, nor may he ask that the district court do so. If Scanlon believes his plea is defective under Skilling, he should have moved to withdraw it, which, if granted, would either have taken him back to the bargain table or trial. Why isn't that correct?
It's one approach that could have been taken, Your Honor. Absolutely. We could have moved to withdraw it.
Why isn't that the one approach that could have been taken? Do you have any case where a court has ever rewritten a plea bargain the way you want one rewritten here?
Your Honor, again, the request to the court was not to rewrite the plea bargain. This argument wasn't raised.
What was your request again then?
The request was to amend or modify.
Do you have any case where a court has remended or modified on unilateral request a plea bargain?
I don't, Your Honor. I have a case, United States versus Gingrich, where Judge Edwards was on the panel, where the court rejected an initial plea bargain. And the parties went back to renegotiate and came up with a second.
There's no question that that can be done.
Right.
But that wasn't what you asked. You asked the court to alter or modify, right?
To amend or modify.
Amend or modify.
Right.
That I don't know what the distinction is you're finding between that and rewriting. We're quibbling over semantics at that point. Do you have a case where a court has done that?
I don't.
Where does the court get the power to do that?
Well, the court has the power, of course, to look at whether a portion of the plea is unconstitutional in light of Skilling.
And you bring it to the court's on proper motion, the court could then strike the plea.
Right.
And you could start over and rebargain or go to trial.
Right.
But that wasn't what you asked the court to do.
And
you've told me three times now you asked the court to amend or modify.
Right.
And the government, I think rightly, says, look, courts can't do that.
Well, and the interesting thing, Your Honor, Chief Judge Santel, is that the government never made that argument below.
Hmm?
The reason they didn't make it.
If that goes to the power of the court to ask, that speaks of a jurisdictional issue, does it not, so that it could be raised for the first time on appeal.
Right.
Right. So it's properly before it, is it not?
The court could have said below, if it found Skilling applicable, which it didn't, so we never got to this second stage of the process. What are we going to do? What are we going to do about this now? We're going to have to withdraw the plea. We've laid out in our briefs the mutual mistake analysis, the contract analogy. If we're right about Skilling, this plea agreement was based on a mutual
right,
mistake.
Right, and you could have easily brought that issue here by moving to withdraw the plea, make your argument about Skilling. Had you lost, then you would have this issue properly before us. But that's not what you did.
Correct.
That's what Chief Judge Santel is pointing out. I mean, it's not as if you couldn't have made the argument. You made the decision not to move to withdraw the plea. And that's the, and so that's the, That's the context in which the case comes before us. That's what limits what we can do.
Correct, Your Honor. There was a choice made.
Yeah.
Well, if the court rightly didn't do something it couldn't do, right, all we can do is affirm, isn't it?
Well, the court didn't rule on that ground, of course. The court went off on a different ground, and the court recognized...
Well, we can affirm a district court on different grounds than the district court.
Sure you can.
Relied upon. It's
sure
not like an administrative law case.
Yeah. The district court recognized in its memorandum opinion ruling against Mr. Scanlon on the Skilling issue that if we were right on Skilling, it would have an impact on sentence and restitution. Okay, sentencing is gone now. We're not before this court asking for any relief on sentencing. There's an appeal waiver. Once the sentence was within the statutory maximum and the appeal came up, there's no question of his imprisonment. The only issue left before this court is the restitution order.
That's part of sentencing.
It is?
Yeah, but so sentencing is not gone now.
But
what is before us, as Judge Tatel suggests, is a pleading in which you sought one form of relief. The court did not grant that form of relief. If the court couldn't grant that form of relief, then all that's left for us to do is affirm, is it not?
Well, the way Your Honor has analyzed it is one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is the plea agreement says restitution is solely up to the discretion of the court. The court has to determine at the time of sentencing who are the victims of the offenses for which there's a plea, and then determine who gets mandatory restitution. So this was not a C plea where the restitution amount was agreed to as in United States versus Goodall. This is a plea where it was left up to the discretion of the judge. And another way to look at the motion that was made here was for her to impact the restitution amount in her final analysis by saying Skilling honest services fraud restitution, the number needs to change because it's unconstitutional on these facts. This was not a C plea. This was within the judge's discretion to adjust the restitution amount.
See, what the government's argument is the way you've decided to do that by not moving to withdraw the plea is that you essentially want the benefit of the bargain you got on the sentence, mm-hmm, and yet not be bound by what you agreed to do with respect to restitution. You know, they say you want the benefit without the price.
That's what the government says, yeah. Judge Tatel, but it never would have happened that way because the government would have had an automatic veto right over whatever the judge decided if she accepted Skilling. The government could have said, well, then we withdraw because you've changed our deal. The government never raised
that
argument.
That makes a nice story, yeah, but that's not what happened. I mean, if you had come in and asked to withdraw, then the court could pass on the withdrawal, and the government would be in a better position to say, well, we withdrew. But you didn't do that. You asked the court to amend or modify the agreement, and that does not really put it before the government to have to say, then we withdraw. If a court can't do that, and I don't yet hear you telling me how a court gets the power to do that, what's the government supposed to do about it? Asking to offer a response to something the court hasn't done?
No, Your Honor, it's the mutual mistake analysis in our briefs. If the court found that the plea agreement were founded on a mutual mistake, the government would have the option to opt out. If the court looks at it as an adjustment to the restitution discretion...
You moved for it to be modified or amended.
I did.
Yeah. You didn't say anything about the court should give the parties the option of opting out. Courts don't generally modify or amend any sort of agreement for the parties, even in the case of mutual mistakes, maybe especially in the case of mutual mistakes. This is an interesting world, but it's not the world we've been living in all these years. You can't tell me a single case where a court's done this.
I can't, Your Honor. I can't.
Okay. And you can't give me any source of power for the court to do that.
I just gave you an alternative source of power, Your Honor, the power to adjust the restitution amount in the plea, which is
but
all
that was all part of a bargained plea. So as Judge Tatel says, you're wanting to maintain the parts of the plea that are beneficial to you, but strike those that aren't.
No, I disagree with that, Judge Santel. The bargain plea was for restitution as required by the statute. If we're right on Skilling, that restitution is not required by the statute. It wasn't a C plea. That discretion was left up to the judge for restitution amount. That's the determination she had the power to make.
Well, if the government was back at the bargaining table, it might take the position that, you know, it wanted a longer sentence since it got less restitution. I mean,
absolutely.
But you're denying then that possibility.
No, there was.
You want to make a new motion down below to set aside the plea? Right. You probably could do so. I don't know, but I don't understand how the court can do what you're wanting it to do here.
I see that my time is up.
It is. We'll give you back a couple minutes for rebuttal if necessary. Hear from the government.
May it please the court, I'm Demetria Lambros for the government. Absolutely. The district court didn't have the power to do what Scanlon wanted it to do, which was to strip out the heart of the plea agreement, all that restitution, and to sentence him based on what's left. That's what he's asked this court to do, too, to basically send it back to be resentenced. He can't do that. And just to be clear, in the plea agreement itself, Scanlon admitted, it's at JA-22, that restitution to the victims is mandatory. He recognized that. And at the plea hearing itself, which is at JA-52, the court said, the court has no choice. This is during the plea colloquy itself. The court has no choice but to impose the restitution in the amount that has been
I don't
been
know how that has a lot to do with the position you're in now.
It doesn't. I'm simply responding to Mr. Okay. Scanlon's argument that, well, the court had discretion under the plea agreement, and in fact didn't.
But he's right that if the Skilling analysis applies, the identity of victims might be different, and therefore the amount of restitution might be different.
The remedy would be different if he's right, conceivably. But, again, he can't ask to strip
right.
out
so,
the heart
so
of
all of this that you're talking about now doesn't really matter to your position in the case now.
It only matters to the extent that the district court did not even have the discretion to take out this mandatory restitution.
Okay.
If you don't want to hear about the Skilling or the other claims, I will rest on my briefs.
All right. Thank you, counsel. I don't believe there's much. Do you need to rebut, counsel?
I would just point the court to the...
We'll give you a minute.
Get all dressed up, I want to use my minute.
Paragraph
14 of the plea agreement, JA-27, quote, the United States cannot and does not make any promise or representation as to what sentence the defendant will receive or what fines or restitution the defendant may be ordered to pay. The defendant understands that the sentence in this case will be determined solely by the court. Of course, the court had to look at who the victims were and what the offense was. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.